Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome Mike Leslie, the sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas. We want to get right to it, Mike. What was your reaction to this move?
Stun doesn't even possibly comprehend it. My little brother is the one who texted me about it, and he's like, Sam's got hacked, right? Like, that must be what's going on here. And immediately, of course he got hacked. There's no way that they would actually do this. Because there's no way they would actually do this. And yet somehow here we are. They actually really did this. I'm still in complete disbelief. Like, I'm not from Dallas. I'm from New York. I came to Dallas for the job a decade ago. That's the only attachment I have to the state of Texas. But despite all of that, I have been here now for a decade. I'm in pain for these fans because this is a franchise-defining, colossal mistake that they may not recover from for a generation. This is unbelievable that we're having this conversation right now.
As best you can tell, how common is your reaction with that of the collective Dallas fan base?
Oh, I think I'm probably on the low end of the spectrum. There's a growing memorial for Luka Doncic outside of the American Airlines Center, right at the foot of the Dirk Nowitzki statue, that is akin to what you would see for someone who had passed away in a tragic accident, type of memorial for Luka Doncic with jerseys and flowers. And there's also some graffiti directed at Nico Harrison, the Mavs general manager, that has grown and grown and grown throughout the day. There are three guys who paid like $3,000 for a casket to bring it down to the AAC and lay it at the feet of the Dirk Nowitzki statue. Mavs fans have gone apoplectic about this, and they've got every right to be furious with the Mavs organization, with the Adelsons, with the Dumonts, and with Nico Harrison for making this move, because it's unconscionable. It really is.
Meanwhile, the Lakers are trotting out videos of Luka arriving in L.A. to all kinds of fanfare on a private jet and posing with Rob Pelinka. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mike Leslie is with us from Dallas. Okay, so Nico Harrison did try to outline his reasons for making this move. After hearing what he had to say, what stands out to you?
I just saw the video that you're talking about with Luka getting off the plane and throwing up the LA. And it just, I can only imagine how much Mavs fans' stomachs are just turning over right now seeing that video. Listen, Nico, I look at this through a number of different lenses here. First of all, I thought it was really off-putting that he, like, came out and started cracking jokes about, hey, is the pregame press conference always this crowded? And, like, dude, just come out and deliver your message, and this is not the time for you to be joking and yucking it up with Jason Kidd. The fan base is furious with you. This is not the time for that. His points about Luka not being a high-quality defender and them having concerns about Luka's weight, like, those are valid concerns. And I can't get myself to the point of saying if you want to trade the guy for that, that's fine, because it's not fine. But they are valid concerns. He's got to have his recovery beer, and he's got, you know, he's at multiple times in his career been spotted at the bar with, you know, Boban or with somebody, whatever the case may be. This has been a common trope for Luka Doncic. He likes to drink a beer. We all saw the video of Michael Finley taking the beer away from him after they won the Western Conference Finals last spring. This is not new that Luka's got a beer, I wouldn't say problem, but Luka likes to drink beer. I think that's probably the fairest way to put it. Luka likes to drink beer, and he's not in what we all generally kind of view as the archetype of phenomenal NBA athlete shape. And yet he's still one of the top five players in the freaking world. That's the guy you work through the problem with. That's not the guy you punt on. But, and the final lens that I look at this through is, if you finally get to the point where you've had enough, you're done trying to work with him on the problems that you think he has, you're ready to move on from this guy, fine, you get to that point, you only get one first-round pick back for him? Look at the trade we just saw today with De'Aaron Fox. There's three first-round picks, a couple of second-round picks. Now, I understand you didn't get Anthony Davis back in that deal, but you should have been able to get Anthony Davis and more than one first-round pick for a generational talent like Luka Doncic. Look at the KD trade a couple years ago, four first-round picks. You should have been able to get way, way more of a haul for Luka Doncic than what Nico Harrison got.
As much as they have an issue with him drinking a beer now and then, or maybe a couple beers now and then, he's 25 years old. It's not like we're talking about a guy who's got a dad bod who's over the hill. You know who else has a dad bod? Patrick Mahomes, and is about to play in another Super Bowl. It blows me away. And he's still averaging, I know he's hurt right now, but still averaging 28-8-8. So, Mike, how much do you think the Supermax contract and potentially having to pay him factored into this?
So they never addressed that part of it. They never copped to that part of it. I can't help but just think, and again, let me be clear, this is just what I think. This is not based on any knowledge or anything. This is just my gut feeling about this whole situation, is that the new ownership didn't want to pay the Supermax. And Nico's not going to go out and say that. Nico's not going to say, hey, my feet were held to the fire, I got to make a move because they're not going to sign the guy in the summer, so we got to go do something. He's not going to come out and say that, at least not in the press conference this afternoon. That would at least make this whole situation, it would at least make the Nico Harrison part of this make more sense. Like, if he was in a spot where he's like, all right, they've told me they're not forking over that much cash. If we're not going to be able to give him the Supermax, we're going to be in a situation where we're going to lose him anyway. Let's just get ahead of this thing and move on while we can actually at least get something in return. That's the only way that this makes any real sense to me, because to just wake up one morning a couple weeks ago and, you know what, I think I want to trade Luka Doncic, that just doesn't compute.
Not to mention that if you're going to win, you still need a superstar. You still need a player who is going to replace his points, his rebounds, his assists. And while Anthony Davis can contribute double-doubles, he's not a point guard, and he's not the all-around player that Luka is.
Yeah. Luka Doncic is the kind of player that, as a general manager, as the owner of a franchise, you sit around and spend your life praying just for one opportunity to get a guy like that, that we can build something around and try and go chase after a championship with and hopefully win multiple championships with. And everybody thought from the jump, Luka Doncic is that guy. Oh my goodness, the Mavs have struck gold. How did they even get this guy to fall to them at three? How did they get Atlanta to go for this trade with Trae Young? How did they possibly pull this off? And now here they are. They've passed the torch from Dirk Nowitzki to Luka Doncic, and they are set up for life. And you traded that dude away, that guy that everybody views as a future MVP, that everybody views as a future champion in this league, that everybody views as one of the top three, four, five players on the planet. And you couldn't figure out a way to make it work.
Mike Leslie is with us from WFAA in Dallas, reacting to this Luka Doncic bombshell. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What did you think of his statement?
it was clear to me that he liked being in Dallas, that he loved being in Dallas.
Yes.
I posted a clip that I caught of him leaving the arena. I don't remember exactly which game it was. I think it was one of the Oklahoma City Thunder playoff games in Dallas. Maybe the clincher. It was late in the series. I got to go back and check the date. But anyway, he was leaving the arena, and I hear all this commotion four floors down. I'm up in the parking garage in Dallas, and I hear fans going nuts and screaming Luka's name. And I go to the edge of the parking garage, and I look down, and his car is encircled by like 50 Mavs fans that are chanting and screaming his name. And he's out the window of his car signing autographs for fan after fan after fan as he's making his way out of the arena. This guy loved playing here, and Dallas fans loved this guy. And yeah, I think there was an understanding in Dallas that he wasn't perfect. He did have some foibles. He did have, you know, maybe more of an affinity for beer than the average 25-year-old athlete. Although, again, to your point earlier, he's a 25-year-old athlete.
Right.
Some of these guys drink some beer. This is not the end of the world. But yeah, he probably drank more beer than he should have. They were going to be patient with this dude. Dallas fans were going to be patient with these. They knew, I forget who I saw write this earlier today, and I apologize. I don't mean to be stealing this from whoever it was. I forget who it was that I saw write this. But it was a really good way to encapsulate all of this. Even if Anthony Davis comes here to Dallas and wins a championship with Kyrie and PJ Washington and what they've got left on this roster, that will feel less real, and that will feel less impactful, I think, to Dallas fans, because it's not just seeing the guys wearing your colored jersey, wearing that piece of laundry, hoisting a trophy at the end of the year. It's about that journey. It's about, hey, oh my gosh, we got this guy in the draft that, you know, hey, he might be something. And then seeing him turn into something his rookie year and win rookie of the year and be this generational talent that you saw grow year after year after year and get better and better and better and go do what he did in Minnesota last year and hit the game-winning three over Rudy Gobert and barking at him. And Mavs fans loved that moment. Loved that moment. It was about the journey. Mm. It was going to be about, hey, these were all the steps along. That's what they love about Dirk here. They look back on Dirk's career, and obviously 2011 is that crowning moment where he finally got there. But all of the moments along the way are now part of the story. The loss in the finals in 06, the first round shocking loss in 07, the year he won MVP, those moments sting for Mavs fans, but now that's part of the journey. Anthony Davis is a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous basketball player. And that's important that they got that good a player back in this deal. But it's not the same as the Mavs fans were on that journey with Luka, and everybody had this belief that, hey, one day that dude's going to win MVP. One day that dude's going to win a championship. And I think probably those statements are still true. But now it's not going to happen in a Mavs jersey. And I think that's the part about this that is so gut-wrenching for Mavs fans right now. The other thing I do think about this, and I posted this earlier today, I feel like this trade is an indictment of Nico Harrison. I also think that this trade is an indictment of Luka Doncic. Because for you to be as gifted a player as he is, as generationally talented as Luka Doncic is, and to get to the point where an organization throws their hands up and says, you know what, we're done dealing with this dude. I still think it was a mistake for them to make that decision. But the fact that you've pushed an organization to that point does not shine well on Luka Doncic. And now he's got all the motivation in the world to go prove this narrative that exists around him wrong. He's got all the motivation in the world, but that narrative does exist. That narrative just had lighter fluid dumped on top of it with this trade. So now he's got something to go prove wrong in a very, very big way, because that says a lot that you got an organization to this point where they were willing to make this deal to get out from underneath you, apparently.
Ugh.
Again, I do not think it was the right decision, but Luka does have some things that he needs to now prove wrong.
It was almost fitting that they get on the court against the Cavaliers, give up 50 in the first quarter, 91 in the first half. And I know they were very shorthanded, but just get pummeled by the Cavaliers. I can imagine their fans thinking, oh my gosh, is this now what our future looks like?
You know what? The thought I had earlier tonight, because again, to your point, yes, the Mavs roster for this particular game against the Cavs was decimated, not just by this trade, but by the injuries that they've been dealing with now for weeks. And the Cavaliers are fantastic. So no, this one game is not reflective of what the Mavs' future is going to look like. But the thought that crossed my mind earlier today is, now the Dallas Mavericks join the Cowboys in one unique way that I'm not used to seeing around the country with other franchises, period. There is a large chunk of fans in the DFW Metroplex, and it all stems back to their firing of Tom Landry when Jerry Jones bought the team. There's a large chunk of people in DFW that actively root for the Cowboys to fail.
So true.
It kind of feels like now, off of this move, there's going to be a chunk of DFW that is going to root for the Mavericks to fail, that was gleeful in seeing them down 50-19 after the end of the first quarter today against the Cavaliers, even though, to your point, not actually reflective of what their future or what their roster is going to look like. But just the day after this trade was made, that it was just karma laid bare. That this is what you get when you make a move like that. There is going to be a chunk of DFW now that is going to actively despise this organization, or at least the people that are currently running the show for, I don't even know how long. We'll see how this all transpires, but this feels a little Jerry Jones, Tom Landry-esque in that way, that they have just turned at least a portion of the DFW area against them.
Mike, before I let you go, they did have a game on Sunday. Have we gotten any reaction from the other Mavericks?
There was a little bit of commentary after the game from some Mavericks players. Yeah, a lot of it was, I don't want to say company line, but I think they're probably in a spot where what in the world do we say here? Klay Thompson did say, that he would have wanted to be traded here regardless. And, because I think the way that the question was asked, would you have wanted to come here if you knew that your time as a teammate with Luka would have been so short-lived? How could you possibly how do you even answer that question? Who could have known that? Nobody could have foreseen this. No one could have foreseen this 26 hours ago. So it's, I think the players are in a hard spot right now. I think they do feel like they've still got some talent. They've managed to win some games even despite all of their injuries of late. But I can only imagine how much they are spinning right now trying to figure out which way is up.
No doubt. And it's only just begun. There's still half a season to go. You can find Mike online at Mike Leslie, WFAA, the sports anchor there in Dallas. And I know one friend of mine, she is convinced that this is an indication that this ownership is going to sell the team. She's like, something else has to be going on. This can't just be about trading Luka. And her response was, I'm just devastated. So I think that you speak for a lot of people in the wake of this trade. Mike, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Yeah. I know it's been quite a day.
Amy, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of conspiracy theories that are running rampant around this thing, too. We could go for an hour talking about that. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes from here.